Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Close your eyes and pull out your dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport Podcast. My name is Jack McCarron of the Southern Star, and I'm joined, as always, by Star Sport editor Kieran McCarty. On this week's show, we'll be hearing from Dunmanway's Melissa Duggan following her first All-Star win last Saturday week. 2019 has been quite the year for Melissa, and the Donnie's woman spoke to Kieran a little earlier on.
We're also going to reflect on the recent exploits of Bendan's Conor Horahan, who was on the score sheet on Monday night as Aston Villa overcame Newcastle United, as well as Killamartyrs' Christina Desmond, who landed her second Irish elite title of 2019 on Friday and now looks to have a great chance of securing a place at next year's Tokyo Olympics.
We'll also have a quick chat about Glengariff's Daryl McElhenney, but we're going to start with West Cork's latest footballing All-Star, Melissa Duggan. The Dunmanway native was named on the All-Star team at the City West last Saturday week alongside Kinsale's Orla Finn, who was picking up her second award. And Kieran, we've heard and spoke a lot about Melissa Duggan this year on the podcast. You've covered her a lot in the paper. Between Donnie's landing their first adult title, the West Cork ladies reaching another senior county final, and the Cork senior side competing in another All-Ireland final. It's been some year for Melissa.
Oh, it has, you know, and for Melissa to finally win an All-Star, I know she's only inter-county level 3 years now, but she should have won an All-Star last year. Like, she's that good. Anyone who's watched her play, or anyone who's worked with her, or anyone who's come up against her, kind of, Melissa is absolute quality. She's one of the best defenders in the country. So to finally see Melissa win an All-Star award and be recognised for the talent that she is superb. I was actually off on holidays when the news came through on Saturday week ago. But even though I was off, I was still checking my phone every couple of seconds on Twitter, because I knew there was obviously a good couple of Cork players up for they were nominated. So to see Melissa's name pop up as an All-Star is phenomenal, and she does deserve it. One of the nicest players you can meet off the pitch. She's an absolute terror to play against on the pitch. She's just full of energy. And even going back to the county senior football final this year up in CIT when Mourne Abbey beat West Cork, Melissa was outstanding that day. She really was. She just never stopped running, and she's such a great link between defence and attack. She's a bundle of energy. She just never stops. Like I said, she's a nightmare to mark. So for Melissa to finish the year with an All-Star award, as well as, like you said there, Jack, Donnie's won their first adult title, and that was the county junior ladies B title. Having lost the previous three finals, they won it. It was four-time lucky for them this year. So while on the inter-county scene, Cork didn't win the All-Ireland, Melissa can still take a hell of a lot from this year. And as you'll hear now from the chat, she's keen to improve again for 2020. So that's a terrifying prospect for the opposition. If you think Melissa's at this level now, and she still feels that she will get better and can get better, and that she will be better for 2020. So great news for Melissa. And let's listen to the chat I had with her earlier. You've had 1 week of being an All-Star footballer, Melissa. What's that been like?
I suppose it really hasn't sunk in yet. I haven't been home since, so I haven't actually got a chance to see the trophy or to look at it, because I'm in my last few weeks now of college, full-time college. So, I've been up in Dublin since the All-Star. So I'm going home this coming weekend. So I'll be glad to go home and see the family and see my friends and my football friends.
Did the All-Star award head down to Dunmanway while you stayed in Dublin, so was it?
Yeah, I think it was safer going down to Dunmanway than it was going up to Dublin, just in case anything would happen to it. I went down to Dunmanway on Sunday after the All-Stars, and I went back to Dublin.
Oh, fantastic. And
well, man said it's up on the mantelpiece anyway, so...
It's obviously taken pride of place up there. Like, it was really well, really well deserved. And I know we're probably a bit biased in West Cork, but it was long overdue as well. You've been superb for Cork the last couple of seasons. But actually, going back to the night of the All-Stars, when you heard your name called out, what sort of moment was that like for yourself?
It was like a surreal moment. Like, you just don't know. Like, you know, there was so many you know, I was up against so many other others, like the Dublin girls. And, you know, everybody put in a great performance throughout the year. And, you know, when my name was called out, it was just a fantastic feeling. You know, all the hard work and, you know, effort that you put into the training throughout the year, and, you know, all the running sessions that we did and the travelling from up and down to Dublin and Cork, like, just all of that, you know, it just all paid off for that moment. And it was just fantastic when my name was called out.
And it was great too, you got to share it with Orla Finn from Kinsale, who picked up her second All-Star award. So it was great to see two Cork players kind of winning, coming home with awards on the night. So it was, I suppose, recognition for yourself and Orla.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know, Orla was on the West Cork team when Kinsale were there. So it was just nice that the two West Cork girls, you know, got it at the same night. And I think Orla's Finn's mother said that she said a prayer for us in Cyprus at church beforehand, that the two of us would get it. So I think our prayers were answered that night.
Oh, that's brilliant. It's kind of great for the two of you to be flying that West Cork flag on the biggest stage. And when you're looking back on the season that's finished, the 2019 season, like, Cork won Division 1 of the National Football League and won the Munster title as well, and came up just short in the All-Ireland series, losing the semi-final to Dublin. What are the kind of standout memories for you, Melissa?
Yeah, I suppose the season, you know, it was so hectic and so fast-paced and fast-moving, you know, that only now you get a chance to look back. And even though we did have a disappointing loss in the semi-final, you know, we did have some really great games throughout the year. And, you know, we did prove ourselves that, especially the young ones, you know, that they are well able to play at senior county level and everything. I suppose the standout performances probably would have been the Munster final and obviously the league final. You know, it's great winning cups, you know, throughout the season, and it gets you in a good place for the championship. But yeah, definitely the league final, because we hadn't been there since my first year, and it's great to play in Pownall Park as well, and it's such a good occasion. So yeah.
You had an outstanding league as well. I think you were named on the Division 1 League Team of the Year, and you got a goal against Dublin. Was it that the semi-final, was it?
Yeah, that was the semi-final. I suppose that was another standout moment as well. You know, we were so close, and that game, it was such a good game, I suppose, as a neutral spectator to watch, because it went into extra time, and, you know, we only won it by a point in the end. You know, we were that close with them, so... there was many, many games that stood out throughout the league and throughout the championship for me.
Unfortunately, Melissa, I think it was Dublin, obviously, who ended Cork's interest in the All-Ireland semi-final. Have you had a chance to kind of look back in that game, and what are your thoughts on it now?
Yeah, it was disappointing that we just lost out on them. I suppose we had beaten them twice in the league, so we were probably in a good position going in. You know, we were confident that... you know, we could win and beat them. I suppose on the day, you know, just things didn't go our way, and we turned the ball over too many times, and we made too many mistakes that, you know, Dublin didn't, and you can't do at that level. And, you know, we only scored, was it three or four points or something from play, and, mm-hmm. you know, on the day, those things aren't good enough when you're in a semi-final. So... you know, that's what we have to learn from going into the 2020 season. Dublin deserve to win it on the day.
Like you mentioned there, the 2020 season, it won't be long before it's here. And I suppose Aoife Fitzgerald is after performing his own hokey pokey. He hopped in and then he hopped out. Now he's after hopping back in. So he's back again as manager for 2020. What are your thoughts on that, having Aoife there? I suppose it is a familiar face, Melissa, because he's done so much with this group of players the last couple of years. So do you think it's a good thing to have that continuity?
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, it's nice that for going into the new season, you know, that there is some sort of familiarity with the management backroom team. Aoife's going to stay on, which is great. You know, he was my first coach and still is my only coach that I've had at senior level, so I think he's a fantastic coach. And, you know, he has brought in some new management for 2020, and some new coaches that will do some training sessions and stuff with us. So, you know, while there is some old faces, there is some new faces as well. So I think the mix will be good, mm-hmm. and I think it's what we need going into the new season. And hopefully now everything will work well with them.
Because I see there, they're after releasing the fixtures for the league, and I think it's Westmead are first up for Cork in the January. And they're also, Melissa, after revamping the senior championship for next year. It's going to be two groups of six now, isn't it? Kind of, it's a different format to what's gone before. So like, even that alone is going to make it an interesting championship next year.
Yeah, and I think so. And I think for the league, I think it's a straight final.
Mm-hmm, it
I
is,
don't
yeah.
think there's a semi-final. So I suppose that's what we'll be facing first. You know, the league, you have to get a good start to the league. So, as you said, Westmead are up first. So, you know, it's important now, since they've changed the layout of it, that you get a good start and, you know, maintain winning ways throughout the league, because it is a straight final. And then for the championship, yeah, I think that means that we're playing more games, that there's going to be two groups in it. But look, we'll face what comes to us, I suppose, in June. But, you know, it's exciting that there's a new layout, and, you know, whatever comes our way, we'll deal with it.
And I hear for 2022 you're going on work placement here in Cork, so there won't be as much travel up and down to Dublin, which you have been doing the last couple of years, in the Royal College of Surgeons. So you'll be based in Cork for a couple of months, so, Melissa, is it?
Yeah, I am. So as part of the final year in your pharmacy degree, you have to do an 8-month placement. So I made sure that I'd get a spot down in Cork City, that I'd be only 5 minutes away from the treat, so I wouldn't even have to travel anywhere. So there's no excuses now for me that I can't come up, turn up late or anything for training. I'll be in my back door now. So.
Oh, brilliant. And it probably makes it a kind yeah. of a, like, you've had such commitment these last couple of years, like these midweek trips up and down from Dublin, you know, kind of it's been like incredible commitment by you. So you must be looking forward in a way, just to like almost rolling out of bed and being able to go to training. Like, it'll be almost a luxury for you in 2020.
Yeah, definitely. You know, especially the last year, it has been tough coming down, you know, the Wednesdays and the Friday nights. You know, it's something that, you know, at least I don't have to stress about now anymore, that I'll be down in Cork, and, you know, I can focus more on maybe improving different parts of my game and stuff like that. So it definitely does help when you're closer to home, because you get sick of the train journey down and the train being delayed is not good.
Like, even you said there, like you're looking to improve already for 2020. Like, you've just won an All-Star, but already your mindset is thinking, how can I get better? Can you must see these kind of areas where you feel you can improve your game.
Yeah, no, I can't wait to start now in December, possibly. You'll probably see me out on the football pitch trying to practice. I don't know what, I'll probably try and practice kicking and shooting more, maybe. But yeah, I just can't wait to get back now out onto the pitch. And, you know, yeah, I just love to improve, because I know there's aspects of my game that I can improve on. And hopefully with the new management and coaches, the coaches, they'll be able to help me with that in January and February. So yeah, I can't wait to get back training now.
Oh, brilliant. And while I have you on the line, I have to ask you about Donny's Ladies this year. Kind of, obviously the All-Star is a huge highlight for you, but I presume as well, kind of, the Donny's Ladies winning the County Junior B football final must have been, a massive highlight for you, and a huge relief considering you'd lost the last three finals. Take me back to that day when you beat Middleton, Melissa. That was, a kind of an outpouring of emotion at the end, an incredible result for you.
Yeah, I can't believe that we actually finally won it, to be honest. You know, as you said, like, we were thereabouts the last couple of years, and, you know, losing consecutive years is just so heartbreaking. You know, it's so hard to go back training with, like, again, and, like, the girls have unbelievable dedication and commitment for coming back every year. And, you know, we've lost a few players along the way, and we've gained a few more players. So, you know, there's just been such a good spirit and team bond within the club. And, you know, the fact that we actually got there and won the game this year, I'd say, you know, everybody in Dunmanagh and the whole West Cork, they were just delighted, and there was big bonfires and everything that night, you know. It just meant so much to not only to the girls but to their families and to the community of Dunmanagh as well, that we won the county final. So it was just an amazing feeling, you know. And again, we can't wait now to move on and up onto Junior 8 next year and, you know, hopefully do well there. You know, the girls have great dedication and they really want to give Junior 8 a go next year. So hopefully we'll have a good year in 2020.
And hopefully the momentum you built up this year will carry into next year. And final question, so before I let you go, because I know you've an exam in the morning. Where does the All-Star rank with the other big trophy you won this year, which was the long puck at the Sam Maguire Sevens earlier in the year? Like, that was a prestigious title to win, Melissa. So, like, would you say the All-Star and the long puck are kind of on a level playing field, or would you just give the nod to the All-Star at this stage? Or
well, considering that I wasn't going to do the long puck that day, I was only thrown into it. Someone wrote down the names for the crack, and, you know, you just had to hit the ball. Like, I used to play camogie, but I wasn't that good at it. But I'd say now, I don't know if it's on the same mantelpiece now as the long puck trophy now or not. I'd have to go for the
All-Star. Oh, brilliant. Melissa, come here. As always, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, the only podcast dedicated to all things sport in West Cork. Don't forget to pick up this Thursday's Southern Star newspaper, including our award-winning sports section with everything a West Cork sports fan could want, in shops across West Cork and online from anywhere in the world via www.southernstar.ie/epaper. The Southern Star and the Star Sport Podcast, #1 for sport in West Cork.
Now, we're always going on about the calibre of sports people that come out of West Cork, and it may be tiresome at times, but the last few days just adds further fuel to the notion that this region produces a different class of athlete. Three of our top international athletes have once again been making headlines, with Aston Villa's Conor Howerton scoring a peach of a goal in Monday night's win over Newcastle, while on Friday, Kilnamatra's Christina Desmond landed her second elite Irish title of the year at the National Stadium, putting her in pole position for next year's Olympic qualifiers. And we're also going to talk about Glengariff's Daryl McEhenny, who won at the Junior All-Ireland Cross Country Championships last weekend. But I suppose, Kieran, of the three, we're just going to start with Conor, because his goal last night, Monday night, for those listening later in the week, was live on Sky Sports in a big Premier League game for Aston Villa, and it was an absolute peach.
Ah, superb goal, and put Aston Villa 1-0 up. Kind of it was obviously kind of after training ground move, kind of himself and Grealish. Conor took a very short, gave it a nudge, Grealish stopped it, and then Conor, that magic wand of a left foot, curled it around the wall, and just like the goalkeeper stood kind of motionless. It was the perfect position, the perfect place for that free kick, and then couple of minutes later, Conor set up the second goal for Villa. Again, that left foot again, a brilliant, brilliant crossing right into the danger zone. That area just between the goalkeeper and the last defender. So it's very, very hard to defend. I can't think of the Villa fellow who got his foot to it, but it was just set the guy the ball home. The cross did all the work there. So brilliant for Conor again, because he had been going well with Villa, but he was dropped for their last game against Manchester City. And Villa boss Dean Smith was saying after that, Conor wasn't happy about that at all, and he came to see him about that. And but that's the type that Conor is. He just, obviously, if you're dropped, you're not happy. And he's worked hard, and he's got his way back into the game again, back into the first team again. And he definitely took his chance last night. Coming up this Sunday now, Villa are heading to Old Trafford to take on the struggling Man United, and Conor's a Man United fan, so it's an interesting one for him. It's a game that he's really looking forward to, and hopefully he did enough on Monday night to keep his starting place there. It all depends what Villa will do, if they'll revert to a more defensive style and maybe take Conor out. But I'd suggest, even though I'm a Man United fan, that Villa have more than enough to go there and cause United problems. So United aren't a barrel of laughs at the moment, and they don't bring too many smiles to the faces of their supporters. So there's a chance that Villa could spring a surprise, because if you look at the table, Jack, Villa are on 14 points, United are on 17 points. So a win for Villa would put them level with United, which is incredible to think. We're this far into the season and Villa could go level with United.
If we just then park his Villa form for a second, he's obviously had a bit of an up and down year with regards to the Irish senior international team, which pretty much culminated in last week's do or die qualifier against Denmark. When the game was poised at 0-0, Ireland needed to win the game, as most people will know. And when Mick McCarthy went to make his first not enforced substitution, he had to make a substitution early on, but this was his first tactical substitution to bring on Callum Robinson. And my gut feeling and I was thinking, it's time for James McLean to be given the curly finger. He was having a poor night. I'm not one of those who criticise McLean all the time, but he was having a poor night. And although Connor may not have been the star man on the field, he had just put in a corner maybe 5 minutes before, in a similar vein to the one you mentioned, in between the goalkeeper and the defender in a dangerous area. And if you look at most of Ireland's goals in this campaign, 6 in total, most of them came from set pieces. So I thought it was unusual to withdraw Connor at that stage. They brought on Callum Robinson, they left McLean on the field. The game eventually finished in a 1-1. Ireland have to go to a playoff rather than directly to the championship. So I can't imagine, knowing Connor as you do, he would have been too happy to be withdrawn at that stage.
I don't think so. Like you said there, like, Ireland's best hope of goals will come from set pieces. We're not a team gifted with players who can produce goals from open play or these moments of magic. So we've got to make the most of our strengths. And Connor's delivery from a set piece, and whether that's a free kick or a corner, like, it's up there with the best in the Premier League right now. He's just a superb set piece delivery expert, and he even said as much after the game last night. He knows it's one of his strengths, and he plays to that. But that's a great weapon to have in your armoury, and I still don't think Ireland use it enough. Because even though, like, Conor now has started, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 games, and he's almost one of the first names, you could say, on the team sheet for the midfield, I still don't think we've seen the best of him with Ireland. Go back to earlier in the campaign, he got man of the match against Gibraltar and the one that went away. Then the home game a couple of days later against Georgia, he scored the winning free kick. But there's still more to come from him. Maybe just the system Ireland play. Maybe when Stephen Kinney comes in, that could be something to release Connor, because Connor's a lovely passer of the ball, but he doesn't get on it enough with the way Ireland are playing at the moment. I still think there's more to come from him there. Hopefully there will be. But if he keeps up the form that he showed for Villa on Monday night, he could be such an important player for Ireland. He now has 5 goals this season. He's Villa's joint top scorer in all competitions. And this is for a fella who hasn't started every game. He started the first game, was dropped for the next couple of games, played a couple of League Cup ties. So he's 5 goals to his name. And for a midfielder to be at those numbers at the start of December is pretty impressive. He always tries to get into double figures. He's well on course for that. So I still think there's more to come from him, but just a great boost for him last night to be so instrumental against Newcastle United. And like I said, hopefully he'll keep his place for Villa against United this weekend. You never know.
Yeah, and in hindsight, I still can't get over the fact that they left McLean on the field.
That's a podcast in itself, I think.
I know. But as we said, Howard, he may have not been playing in his best position, but in a game like that, when it's on a knife edge, chances are your only chance is going to come from a corner or a free kick. And we decided to take off our only set-piece specialist and bring on another forward/winger who, unfortunately, didn't get much time on the ball either. But anyway, that's Conor Howard-Hinn. His star is continuing to rise in the Premier League. Hopefully he can transfer that form when Ireland meets Slovakia, I think in March, in the Euro 2020 playoff Nations League semi-final. No one really knows what they're called.
No one knows, yeah.
But we'll be keeping an eye on Conor in the coming months, and especially in the build-up to that Ireland game. Now, another athlete that we mentioned at the top of the show who's been setting the world alight is Kilnamatra's boxing sensation, Christina Desmond. Christina Desmond won her second Irish elite title of 2019 on Friday night, beating Grainne Walsh at the National Stadium live on TG Cahir. And I say her second national title of the year, which may sound unusual, because usually national championships only happen once in a given year. But because 2020 is an Olympic year, they moved the 2020 elite finals back a few months. So they were held on Friday night in November of 2019. It was a repeat of March's final, where she also fought against Grainne Walsh. And the result was the same. Christina Desmond beat Walsh. And going back to her first win earlier in the year, we had Christina on the podcast, and going in, that was her first elite final at 69 kilograms. She had been fighting at 75 before that, but she dropped back to 69. Grainne Walsh was the favourite fighter. She was actually, at the beginning of 2019, Grainne Walsh, who's from Eden Derry, somewhere in Offaly, I'm not 100% sure, she was seen as one of Ireland's best medal hopes for the Olympics in Tokyo next year. But in the space of 12 months, Christina's beaten her in two elite finals, and now she's in pole position to be sent to the Olympic qualifier in London.
How did she get there, Jack? What's the next kind of step for Christina to take to kind of to put herself in a position to represent Ireland in Tokyo next summer?
Well, unlike a lot of sports, the person who gets to go to the qualifiers is actually, it's selected by the head of the high performance. In this case, it's Bernard Dunn. I think, is that a similar in rowing? It's decided by the coach rather than on the results note. So
Yeah.
So basically, technically, they could still send Grainne Walsh, but it's Bernard Dunn's decision, and it's hard to see him picking the girl who lost two national finals.
That would be unusual, kind of. Yeah, Christina's put, like you said, she's really put herself in pole position. Oh, she's beaten Grainne Walsh twice.
Exactly, and she's also like performed very creditably in the international tournaments this year. She went to the Europeans back in August. She was beaten in the quarterfinal by the eventual winner, a Russian. Then in the Worlds over in Russia, she beat the hotly fancied English boxer Sandy Ryan, who was tipped to win gold at next year's Olympics. Christina beat her in the first round. In the second round, she beat a capable Canadian. And in the quarterfinal, she was beaten by the Turkish fighter, who went on to win gold again. So Christina's two international tournaments for Ireland this year, she's lost close fights to the eventual winners. So for Bernard Dunn, who everyone will remember was a great professional for back in the day, selling out the Point Depot, as it was then, back in like the late 2009 kind of era. He's the head of high performance at Boxing Ireland now, and he has a decision to make who he's going to send to the Olympic qualifiers in London in March. And barring an injury or something, I don't know what could make him not pick Christina. She's going to be at the Olympic qualifier. Chances are she'll go on and represent Ireland at next year's Olympics. And anyone who follows sport will know that women's boxing has enjoyed an unprecedented level of growth since the 2012 Olympics, when Katie Taylor won gold. So before the 2012 Olympics, female boxing was almost treated like a freak show, a sideshow even. Like, it was never given the same column inches as its male counterpart. But Katie Taylor has put the sport into the mainstream. She's now headlining arenas in the UK. She headlined Manchester Arena last month. So Christina Desmond could be going to the Olympics as one of Ireland's best medal hopes. And just over 12 months ago, she was basically unknown outside of West Cork.
That's an incredible rise. And you just talked about Katie Taylor there. You were actually in Manchester a couple of weeks ago, Jack, for, like you said there, Katie. She headlined that event in Manchester. I can't think of the name of the, was it Luxembourg?
The Manchester Arena against,
I can't think of the name of the lady she was fighting.
Christine Leonardatou, a Greek lady.
For you and your friends to travel over there, like, to kind of to watch an Irish women's boxer headline an event that was live on Sky Sports 2. It's just shown how much women's boxing has grown. Like, huge atmosphere there, great win for her again. It's incredible to see the sport grow so much.
It was incredible, and it's the era I've grown up in, as in I'm 28 years of age, so it has been an era where women's sport has been given a greater respect. But if you were to say 10-15 years ago that an Irish female boxer was going to headline one of the biggest arenas in the UK, like, it seats 20,000 people, the Manchester Arena. This is the arena that held some of the biggest fights going back in boxing history. If you were to say 10 or 15 years ago that an Irish female boxer would be headlining, people would have looked at you like you have 10 heads. But yeah, now it's just the accepted norm. And when me and my friends were going over to watch that fight, not to sound too like cheesy or like a snowflake or woke or whatever, we were going to watch an Irish boxer as opposed to an Irish female boxer. And that's what Katie Taylor has done for the sport. She has broken through the glass ceiling, as it were, and she's now treated on a par, and treated even better in many cases than her male counterparts. So that's, I can't say that Katie Taylor is one of Christina's inspirations. I haven't run that by her, really. But if you look at the Irish female boxing team as it stands right now, there's never been as much talent, and Katie probably deserves a lot of that credit. And I suppose best luck to Christina in the Olympic qualifier in March. We'll be covering that story.
100% check. Like you said there, Christina kind of hopefully will be put forward for the Olympic qualifiers, and hopefully she might swell West Cork's number of Olympians next summer. We will have two Skibbereen men there in that Irish men's lightweight double. Touch wood, we'll have Phil Healy there from Ballineen, Ireland's fastest woman. She's on course to qualify for next year's Olympics. And in the future Olympics, there's a young fellow from Glengariff, Darragh McElhinney, who is a future Olympian too. Next year will come too soon for him. But Darragh added to his impressive trophy haul the weekend just gone on Sunday when he defended his junior men's national cross-country title in Abbottstown. So great way for Darragh to kind of finish off the kind of domestic season. For that does now qualify him for the European cross-country championships that are on in Lisbon there on December 8th. And that will be Darragh's last ever junior race before he kind of hits the senior ranks next year. So hopefully he's going to go out on a high there. But for Darragh to defend his national junior title, quite important to him, because he's had a lot of change again the last couple of months. He's changed coaches. He's now in college up in UCD, which for everyone knows, kind of, he's living away from home for the first time. And when you're going to college away from home, like Dublin to Glengariff, it's a good couple of hours in the car. So it's all changed for Darragh. New coach, living in a new city. Everything's different. So for Darragh to kind of to win and defend that national title, it shows the caliber of him again. He was in this podcast there a couple of months ago. Very, very impressive young man. We'll definitely hear a lot more about him in the years ahead. And before that, before Christmas, now he's the European Cross Country Championship. So, like you said at the start of it, Jack, this West Cork is brimming with sport and talent. And it really is a golden era for West Cork sport across all different sports. And we're quite lucky here in the Southern Star that there are so many international class athletes right here on our doorstep. Go to Glengariff, go to Killamartra, Ballineen, Skibbereen, over the bend into Conor Horahan, and there's way more. We're quite lucky and quite fortunate, and we're delighted to be able to tell their stories every week in the Star.
Just on Darragh McElhinney there, before we move on, you mentioned he came into us and he took part in the podcast here in the studio a few months ago, and his attitude was infectious. He's such a nice man. Like, I was almost like I was buzzing after talking to him. I know you did the interview, but I was in the studio and it was all chats and all smiles, and I was like, oh, he nearly inspired me to go out and run that evening. But then a few weeks later, because it was during the summer, I was down in Glengariff in just having a day out, and I was sitting eating fish and chips in the chipper. Anyone who knows Glengariff, the fish and chip shop opposite Casey's hotel there, and I was sitting there lying back. I'd say realistically I'd probably been out the night before, so I probably had like my belly just falling down over my jeans or whatever, eating my fish and chips. And who did I see running up the road training for a future Olympics? Only Darragh McElhinney, who not two or three weeks before I had walked out of meeting him saying, right, I'm going running this evening. But so he soon dissipated.
He inspired you to run to a fish and chip shop.
Basically, I felt 6 inches tall when he ran by. You know, he was training for future Olympics, and I had been inspired by him 3 weeks prior, but there I was eating fish and chips. But shout out to that fish and chip shop. They were absolutely delicious. Perfectly cooked. Had some onion rings as well. Some garlic mayo to dip the onion rings in. Yeah, excellent.
If anyone ever feels like sending in free food to us here in the Star Sport podcast, please do. We'll definitely critique the food. Send it in here to, we're here on Island Street in Skibbereen. So whether it's fish and chips, muffins, pizza,
donuts.
Donuts, anything whatsoever. We've no morals whatsoever, so please send in your food.
But before we finish then on the high calibre of West Cork sports star, when I was kind of going through some of them today, what really struck me was like the variety, the cross-section of sports. In some areas of the country, you know, it's very focused on, I'd say, soccer or rugby or Gaelic football. But in West Cork, when you think about it, just the ones we've talked about today, Darragh McElhinney, international cross-country star, Christina Desmond, international boxing star, future Olympian maybe, Conor Howard, Premier League footballer. You have Phil Healy, Ireland's fastest
ever woman.
Ireland's fastest woman. You have the rowers, obviously. You literally wrote the book on the rowers. We had a triathlete in here. We've had a kickboxing world champion.
Road bowling, rugby. We haven't even touched on rugby. Like, West Cork, rugby in West Cork has exploded these last couple of years. It's just this is a nursery ground for Munster rugby players at the moment, both male and female, you know. So it's an incredible area for sport, and hopefully it'll last a long, long time. And it, the talent coming up, Jack, is quite strong as well, you know, kind of. So there is a lot more to come from this area, and it's just incredible, kind of, looking back just across the county bounds at Kerry. Kerry's predominantly Gaa. Everything is Gaelic football. You know, the football is king there. And it's not to say that the GAA isn't as important here in Cork, because it is. But there's so much more variety to the sports people here and the levels that they're operating on. We're talking national, international, world-class sports people from this little pocket, not a little pocket, from this pocket of Ireland, kind of West Cork, which is a unique county of its own in many respects. You know, West Cork is its own area. So for West Cork to be producing these class athletes year after year after year in every sport, I think it's a testament to everyone involved on the ground here in West Cork sport. Their friends, their families, their clubs, everything. Just keep up the good work and keep us in the job.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast, the only podcast dedicated to all things sport in West Cork. Don't forget to pick up this Thursday's Southern Star newspaper, including our award-winning sports section with everything a West Cork sports fan could want, in shops across West Cork and online from anywhere in the world via www.southernstar.ie/epaper. The Southern Star and the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.
Welcome back to the Star Sport Podcast. And before we wrap up today's show, as always, we're going to take a quick look at what's to come in Thursday's paper. Then we have some housekeeping notes that we'll get to at the end. But Kieran, Thursday's Southern Star, what do we have to look forward to?
Like we mentioned there, about the likes of Darragh McElhinney, Conor Horan, Christina Desmond, they all feature, as well as that. Newcestown are having a superb season on the GAA field, and their minor footballers won the Rebel Og minor West football final against Castlehaven last weekend. So that's a double for Newcestown at minor level in West Cork, hurling and football. So incredible stuff there. The Carbery AGM is on this Friday night at St James's GAA Pavilion, and with a look at the Secretary Donald McCarthy's report, and he's hitting out at a couple of different things. So we will report on them this Thursday. Nice interview with Miriam Forbes of Donnie's GAA, who is starting work as a Cork LGFA County Development Officer. So full page interview there. St. Columb's under 14s, a shout out to them. They had another incredible win just the weekend just gone in a county final. So they have won all that's gone before them in this season. So plenty there, plenty to sink your teeth into in this Thursday's Southern Star, including, actually, just to mention, the Skibbereen 10K road race was on in Skibbereen the weekend just gone, and it was a brother and sister who won both, Justin Ryan and his sister Clara. Justin's a former international rower with Ireland and rode here with Skibbereen Rowing Club as well. So just incredible to see a brother and sister kind of first over the line in both. So we've reported some pictures on that. So yeah, plenty to, like I said, to sink your teeth into.
And it's going to be available in shops all across West Cork and further afield, as always, from Thursday morning. And it only costs €2.20. And I usually now would plug the digital edition being €2 per week, or less than €2 per week if you subscribe for a prolonged period of time. But in the spirit of free market capitalism, it's Black Friday! Woo, woo, woo! And the Southern Star are having their first ever Black Friday sale, and I'm here to tell you about it. So from Thursday evening at 6 o'clock until Friday evening at 6 o'clock, so 24 hours, the Southern Star Digital Edition will be on sale 50% off. So you can subscribe to the Southern Star for 12 months for only €43.50. That's less than €1 per week. You can read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet, or smartphone for less than €1 per week when you subscribe between 6 p.m. Thursday and 6 p.m. Friday. So 24 hours, Black Friday sale. Don't miss out. That's ridiculous value. If you saw the Southern Star last week, the Southern Star paper edition and digital edition, there was something like 160 pages.
Incredible.
Between news, sport, life, Christmas magazines, business magazines. Less than €1 a week, you're robbing us.
Santa will come early, hopefully, to out of West Cork.
It's a great Christmas present.
Yeah.
A great Christmas present. Less than €1 a week, €43.50. Save 50%.
And tell us when On Thursday from...
Thursday from 6pm until Friday at 6pm.
You heard it here first?
You heard it here first. People, get out there. Buy it for your friends. Buy it for your family. Buy it for your enemies. I don't really care who you buy it for. Just bye, bye, bye.
And just to give a quick heads up on next week's Star Sport podcast, since we're coming up to the kind of traditional shopping day on December the 8th, what we're going to do, we're going to have a quick look at sports books of the year for the sports fan in your life. So we'll just have a chat with a couple of different people about the top sports books of the year, just to give you kind of a nudge in the right direction of what books you should buy for that sports fan in your life. And I will say now that Something in the Water will feature very heavily next week, but it is the ideal sports gift for every sports fan in West Cork and beyond.
And I have been working my way through There's Something in the Water, Kieran's book that he wrote that was nominated for Unpussed Sports Book of the Year.
Yes.
And I have been working my way through it, and surprisingly, I'm enjoying it a lot, really enjoying it.
I'm not surprised by that. I knew you'd enjoy it.
I like sport. I like West Cork, so they go hand in hand. I suppose we'll have a few free books to give away next week, will we?
I think so too, yeah. We'll give a couple of free books away.
Will you give away a copy of your book?
we can go to negotiations in the next couple of days, but no, we definitely will have a couple of books to give away.
He'll have to see the purchase receipt before he gives it away for free, so he knows he's getting a cut of the profits.
But it is, it's just for all. I think it'll just be a good show next week. Sports books are kind of, books in general are making a comeback the last couple of years. I think people love physically holding a book in their hands, so a lot of great sports books in Ireland. So we're going to chat with Adrian Russell. He's the author of The Double.
Yeah.
And we're also going to Joe McCarthy, who's going to go through some sports books to put in your stocking. So don't miss next week's Star Sport podcast. So thanks for listening to this week's podcast. We'll be back at the same time next week. So if you enjoy these shoes, or shows even.
If you enjoy these shoes, or shows,
please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Acast, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to the show.
Thanks for listening to the Star Sport Podcast, number one for sport in West Cork.